Didn't they do an excellent job?
Yes.
I invite you at this time to stand as you're able for our scripture reading today. It comes from Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." May God bless the reading of his word to us this day. Please be seated. The last several decades have witnessed a rather steady succession of public demonstrations for a variety of special causes. Some of us remember a nonviolent demonstration in Montgomery, Alabama in the mid-1950s that began the modern civil rights movement under the leadership of Martin Luther King Jr. In more recent years, there were protests under the so-called Occupy movement that grew up in cities all across the United States to protest corporate greed, corruption, and income inequality. And last summer, there began to be somewhat destructive protests, demonstrations, if you would, in Ferguson, Missouri. Certainly throughout the years, protesters worldwide have had protests for a variety of causes, including peace. Certainly, demonstrations are not a new means of expressing public opinion. And the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on that last week of his life on earth was a different form of demonstration. Jerusalem was crowded with those who had gathered to observe the Jewish Passover, the most important feast of the Jewish year. And the crowds, they were all keyed up that day with national expectations that God was going to finally raise up a king to deliver them from their Roman oppressors. Shouts of Hosanna filled the air as the crowd acclaimed Jesus as king. But Jesus came as a different king. He came riding, not as an earthly king back then on a white horse, but Jesus came as the Prince of Peace on a lowly donkey. I think there are several observations we can make about that first Palm Sunday. First of all, we can all marvel at Jesus' courage. Jesus, in public, was entering what would soon be a very hostile city. You know, Jesus could have chosen to not have such a dramatic entrance. He could have chosen to slip into Jerusalem after dark, maybe through one of the back streets. But Jesus knew that his hour of coordination had arrived, and he willingly occupied the center of that public stage. That Sunday, every eye was on Jesus, including the envious and vengeful eyes of those who wanted to see him put to death. Second, we can marvel at the open transparency of Jesus. Jesus allowed the multitude to recognize him as God's Messiah. You see, Jesus was not satisfied to be acknowledged as just another prophet. If he had, he likely could have escaped his coming death at the hand of his enemies. But Jesus had to be true. He had to be transparent. Jesus couldn't deny himself. To be Lord of all and surely to be the Savior of all mankind, Jesus consciously and confidently traveled the road that would lead irrevocably to the cross. Third, we can marvel on that day of celebration. As you follow on in the scriptures, you'll find out that Jesus shed tears. I think a strong man who weeps is always a very moving scene. You know, there comes time and experiences when words are powerless, and when the only release that we can have when we sense an overwhelming sorrow is to just let those tears flow. And I believe at such times, those tears are really a gift from the Lord. Jesus stood above his beloved city of Jerusalem. He saw Jerusalem's spiritual poverty, its materialism. He saw the empty religious forms and practices. He knew people's minds, so he was able to see their unbelief. He saw the hate and the bitterness inside of those that were plotting his death. He saw the callous rejection of his spiritual claims by the multitude. Remember, they were looking for political, not spiritual, liberation. He saw the impending doom that was going to hang over that city in just a few short decades. He saw people, teeming multitudes of people, as sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus wept in overwhelming sorrow as he knew they would be facing the judgment of God. Fourth, we can marvel at Jesus' gracious lowliness. How did Jesus decide to come into Jerusalem? He appeared riding on a donkey. And the unsympathetic witnesses were probably amused. They were perplexed. They were probably scornful at this awesome demonstration. Jesus riding on a donkey. They were too blind to see that Jesus was trying to teach them a lesson. His kingdom wasn't according to this world. Jesus' kingdom wasn't of this world. And those who follow Jesus wouldn't be the proud, but the humble. Not the self-sufficient rich, but people who would come to Christ and truly be poor in spirit. But why? Why did Jesus choose that animal? Why did he choose a donkey? I mean, isn't a donkey a stubborn animal? Isn't a donkey an awkward animal? Isn't a donkey considered to be a low animal? If Jesus couldn't do any better than ride a donkey, why did he just walk in that day? Do you know this is the only time in the Bible where it records that Jesus actually rode an animal? I think Jesus wanted to teach us that whatever he touched, whatever he had in contact with, had a special dignity. Jesus wanted to impress upon each one of us, no matter how despised the animal, Jesus could use that animal. And more than animals, Jesus wants to use us, ordinary, average people. I want you to think about Jesus' disciples. Was there any man there that graduated from high school, that had a university degree? They weren't highly educated. No one was a scholar. No one of his disciples had wealth or fame. Four of them had been smelly fishermen, and one had been a noted, hated tax collector. Jesus' disciples were men with weaknesses and flaws, just like the rest of us. Some of his disciples, they even had bad tempers, right? Like the rest of us. His disciples would stumble. His disciples would fall. But Jesus took these obscure men, and through them, empowered by his Holy Spirit, it was said that they turned the entire Roman world upside down. Thank you. You know, God will work with anyone who will give him a consecrated heart. Jesus is never impressed with pious, false humility. Sometimes people say, well, God can't use me because I'm not clever. God can't use me. I don't have many talents. God can't use me. I'm not articulate. But if Jesus could use a lowly donkey, Jesus can use each one of us as we surrender to him and as we praise him like the multitudes did on that Palm Sunday. Yes, God can always use dedicated, consecrated people. Think about the greatest Christian people of history. You know, many of them had rather humble and obscure beginnings. The great Christian writer John Bunyan was not a polished writer. He was limited in his education. Many scholars sneered at his writings. But the response of the multitudes established his allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, as one of the greatest works in English literature. How about when William Booth founded the Salvation Army? You know what the press did in England? They ridiculed him. They made fun of him. The London Times always put his rank of general in quotes. But William Booth founded and led an inspired army for Christ, whose work has spread all across the world. How about Dwight L. Moody? He was an unlettered man. He never went to college. People said his manners were crude. His grammar was atrocious. Someone said D.L. Moody was the only man who they ever heard who could say the word Mesopotamia in one syllable. English teachers would come to hear D.L. Moody just to condemn his use of grammar. But many of them left praising the Christ whom D.L. Moody proclaimed. D.L. Moody, the greatest evangelist of the 19th century. He gave God everything he had, and God used him far beyond the ability of many more talented preachers. I'm told that if we go to Carisbrook, England, we can find a donkey. And this donkey works in a little round house. And you know what that donkey's job is, kids? His job is to go around and around in circles. Around and around. That's all he does. There's no starting place. There's no stopping place. And we're probably thinking, is there any purpose in going around and around in that endless circle? But then if you observe, this donkey is being used to draw water from a very deep well in the heart of the castle. He's not walking around in circles for nothing. Because of his work, on a hot day, that donkey can make sure you get a cool drink. Now, we know a spirited horse would never submit themselves to such drudgery and monotonous work. But even the most obscure and humble person among us, we can draw water from the wells of the Word of God and give a drink to people who are spiritually thirsty. Some of you might remember, I wasn't born yet, an impressive recruiting poster during the Second World War. And it pictured Uncle Sam looking straight at you, pointing his index finger right in your face. And beneath his picture were these words, "I need you." This poster was a dramatic portrayal of the urgency America faced fighting for its very survival. Think about this. Not only do we need Christ, but Christ needs us. He has no hands but our hands to perform his deeds of kindness and mercy. He has no feet but our feet to carry on his work of world mission. He has no tongue but our tongue to share the good news of the gospel. Some of you might think, well, I don't have a lot to offer Jesus. But all he asks is that each one of us offer to him, give to him the best that we have. Jesus doesn't require us to be successful. But Jesus does ask us to be faithful. The Lord has need of you. He wants all of you, not just right now, but forever. I'd ask that you would remain seated as the Serfoss Drama Connection prepares for their play. We are going to be turning to hymn number 415 and singing All Glory, Laud, and Honor, number 415.